I think that if I could just get my focus right, if I could get my direction and my focus and my interests aligned with God, then I could be like this unstoppable force. I kind of think of it like this. I don't believe that Jesus gave me the gift of singing, because if I could sing, I literally would be the, if I could sing and be a good lyricist, I think that I could put Taylor Swift to shame for the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, it'd be like a mix of Britney and Taylor, but Jesus on top, all in one.
Brite.
Some Jesus Brite action. You know? Uh-huh. Just because of all the energy and excitement. But he didn't give me that gift. So I like have to look at my gifts to figure out how to, as a hint of how to channel my focus. Oh, snap. I don't know. Anyway,
that's
so
good.
Focus is hard for me, but because I know it is like the most important thing.
Today on the Messy Faith Podcast.
Hello, hello, ladies. Welcome to the Messy Faith Podcast, because
life is messy,
but God already paid the maid.
Yeah.
Welcome. How are you guys doing today? Satricia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yes.
I got some exciting news, and I'm trying not to nerd out, so I'm just going to breathe through this. But we're talking about something that that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm not talking about sex. We're gonna be talking about focus.
Yes.
How that affects us in our spiritual lives, how it affects you in life. What is it? Mm-hmm. Is there biblicalness to it, or is this just a human thing? Like, what about it? Do you want to start? I started last time.
You did.
I did. Let's
one out of 20. Okay, yeah. So
well, let's start off with what is focus and why do we care?
Yes. Focus is, I'll just say as simply as what you give your attention to.
Okay.
That's what I would say. Simple.
So then why is it important for us to care about this concept
of
focus?
That's going to go into some stories. And are we ready for that? Or you want to tell your definition too?
I mean, no, my definition was literally, you kind of already said it, was just saying it, that, well, that there's kind of a little bit, two different types of focus, but they're kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. One focus is your concentration, mm-hmm. the channel in which your energy is flowing. And then the other one is like the clarity of like your purpose, mm-hmm. Like that type of focus.
Yeah. Huh.
So it's kind of everything that you said.
Yeah. Just okay. In a nicer way. I like
exactly.
That.
So you're saying I'm mean.
No. You said oh. Nicer. You said it nicer. You made it prettier.
Oh, okay. Oh, thanks. That's what happens when you're not pretty. You just make everything. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So why is focus important?
Yes. Oh, you're asking me.
I tried to get to it before you asked me.
I already asked you though.
Oh, you did. You did. You're right.
I did.
So why is focus important? Because I believe what we focus on, we magnify.
Oh.
And so whatever in our life we give the most attention to, that becomes the biggest thing in our life.
Okay. And then the thing that becomes the biggest part of our life then determines the things that we do, the things that we think, and the ways that we go.
Yes.
So it's huge. Okay. So here is the big hang up then. Because me, as a girl running after Jesus.
Mm-hmm, running.
I'm running. Sometimes I run real fast. Sometimes I'm wobbling. Sometimes I fall down, but I get back up. But I want... And I say that Jesus is the sole focus of my life, mm-hmm. but I live in a world that literally is bombarding every sense.
Yes.
Like literally, my eyes are being bombarded by things I didn't ask for.
Yeah.
Like my nose is being bombarded by like four different perfumes from all the teenagers. Uh-huh. and Satricius, you know, and so literally, and I live in Washington, so you never know what season it is that day. It could be winter, it could be summer, it could be spring, or it could be fall, because
everything.
That is the mysterious awesomeness of Washington.
Yeah, all in one day.
Exactly. But so I am being inundated with all this stuff, and I have six kids.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to get real personal here. And so I get really upset and just kind of stuck with, why is God not always at the forefront, or how could I be more focused? And I just in general have a hard time focusing, and sometimes I'm overly focused, but we'll talk about that later in the episode. You know, And I think that sometimes we think, at least I think, that if I could just get my focus right, mm-hmm. if I could get my direction and my focus and my interests aligned with God, then I could be like this unstoppable force. I kind of think of it like this. I don't believe that Jesus gave me the gift of singing, because if I could sing, I literally would be the, if I could sing and be a good lyricist, I think that I could put Taylor Swift to shame for the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I'd be like a mix of Britney and Taylor, but Jesus on top, all Brite, in one.
Brite.
Some Jesus Brite action. You know? Uh-huh. Just because of all the energy and excitement. But he didn't give me that gift. So I, like, have to look at my gifts to figure out how to, as a hint of how to channel my focus. Oh, snap. I don't know. Anyway,
that's
so good. Focus is hard for me, but because I know it is like the most important thing.
Yes. I think for everyone. Yes. It's what determines the outcome.
Yeah.
It determines what you harvest, like, because your focus, your time is your investment, and how you invest that time, like what you focus on in the space of time, is what you're going to produce. Like, literally, you can't focus on, I don't know. You can't focus on your phone and produce something over here, or exactly. You know what I'm trying to say.
Like, I had to focus on Matt to make a baby.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, just the easiest analogy for me to come up with.
Yeah.
You have to, like, plant a seed and then water it and make sure no weeds get in for it to grow.
Yes. That's my biggest struggle in life. Like, we talk about other times, we joke and I'm like, I struggle with other stuff, but my biggest struggle is focus. Like, other areas of my life, like with self-control and like my character and how I treat people, I don't really struggle with that kind of stuff.
Can we just say that you're always growing?
Always. That's my goal. That's my goal.
Okay.
But my biggest struggle is focus. That's the thing, that the kryptonite that I'm like daily, always like, okay, reshift. Like, okay, always.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if that distraction tactic is maybe one of the enemy's like things.
Yes, because he knows if you're focused, what you can harvest, like what you can grow in, what you can learn, and what you can do with what you've learned when you're focusing.
Yeah.
Because when you're focused, you're paying attention to certain details. And in learning those details, they become tools to help you be successful in what it is you're trying to accomplish.
So would it be fair to say that that focus is just micro actions that create a habit?
Micro actions.
Okay, so we know that focus
is in the same
is
direction.
In concentration, right? Your concentration, your energy is focused on this thing, so it's going in this direction, mm-hmm. right? So that's, I don't know. Focus is in bed with habit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yes, I think that's how we master focus, is we make it a habit to focus on certain things, right?
Right. That's the ability to say, to deny certain things, mm-hmm. our attention, our focus, mm-hmm. and to habitually give our focus to these things.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to decide, mm-hmm. unknowingly or no, but knowingly.
Yeah.
Intentionally or intentionally give those things focus.
Yes. Yeah. Because like I said earlier, what you focus on, you magnify.
Yeah.
So if in my life I'm focused on not falling, then chances are I'm going to be tripping a lot of times because my focus is, oh no, don't fall. Oh no, don't. And now I've created this world where my only intention is just not to fall. But it has nothing to do with grow. It has nothing to do with thrive. It has nothing. It's more survival. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think for years, that's how I was living, was I was so focused on not making the wrong choice that I wasn't making any choices.
That you saw. You were starting to have like this distorted perspective that everything was a rot. Yeah.
Everything was here. And so all the other stuff that's going on that's great around here, that God's like, look at this over here. I was just like, don't do this stuff. And that's like with sin. If you're so focused on like the sin you're struggling with, that's usually when you get tripped up the most, because you're more tempted because it's always in front of your face. If every day you're like, don't drink, don't, like say you have a drinking problem, don't drink, don't drink. Every time you go in the store, because that's become your focus, you're going to see all the liquor. You're going to see all the opportunities, which then makes it more temptation. But if I'm focused more on growing in God, then he begins to lessen those things because they're not even in my, you know how they say out of sight, out of mind?
Yeah.
They're not in my sight. So they stop being in my mind. And there's a scripture I always love to quote because it's my favorite one. I feel like
quote it.
It's Daniel 11:32. It's the second part of it. And it says, those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. And I think a part of our Christian walk where we get tripped up at is we focus on the exploits. And so we spend our life trying to figure out how to get the exploits done.
Explain what you mean by exploits.
Exploits, it could be like your calling or your purpose or doing great things. It could be whatever you feel like.
Like the climax of your purpose on this world.
Yes.
So ignoring the journey of getting there and just fixating on that one moment.
Yes, we make that. And our goal then becomes trying to make that happen.
Oh.
When if we're doing what the Bible tells us to do, which is focusing on knowing God, if we spend our days focusing on knowing God, through that relationship, through that intimacy with him, through that focus on him, he'll begin to lead us on a path that those exploits will come. And on that path, we'll be strengthened to be able to accomplish those exploits. But sometimes we're so focused on there, we're not getting the strength that we're supposed to get in the process. Because it says those who know their God will be strong and then do great exploits. It doesn't say we're going to do the great exploits, then we're going to get strong. It's like, so if I focus on knowing you, God, knowing what your word says, like then my character is strengthened, then my faith is strengthened. And then now I'm prepared to handle all the things that you've called me to handle. And now I'm prepared with the knowledge to know which decision to take because I've invested my focus. I've invested my time in knowing you and knowing what your word says.
I hear what you say, but when you say that, what I can relate to and what I have struggled with is that I was one of those students that when you're supposed to take notes in class, I would literally just end up writing everything the teacher said. And I didn't seem to have the ability to pull out or to comprehend what was going to be the most important thing to do. I still do it now. Like you look at when I read articles or PDFs, I'll highlight stuff. And my husband looks at it. He's like, Emily, why did you just highlight everything? This looks like a coloring book. I was like, because I liked everything.
Like I highlighted the title because I liked it.
Exactly. So what about if you don't know what to focus on? I mean, there's a lot of Bible stuff. Jesus is a multifaceted like character, mysterious mystery. There are some things that he's tells you outright and some things that you don't know yet.
I think
and
it's
so
organic.
How do you know what to focus on?
It should be organic. And what I say mean
but is
by
there
that
a starting point for everybody, because you could say it's organic.
I would say learning about Jesus. I think that's a good starting point for learning about Jesus's life. I think that's a great starting point because then we're going to tap on things in character. We're going to tap on certain principles and certain like
how we were understanding like him as a person.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. And then as we journey, I think whatever naturally comes up in our life, like. If naturally now I'm struggling with anxiety or I'm, you know, then I can go to the word and say, what does the word say about this? Because now I'm getting to know this side of God. Like, what does God think about anxiety? What does God says is the remedy for anxiety? Or what is, you know, now I'm on this quest of knowing God and experiencing God through the lens of like struggling with anxiety, not focusing on the anxiety, like don't feel anxious because the Bible says this, but like, no, the Bible says don't be anxious, but why don't be anxious? Okay, I'm supposed to have peace. Why do I have peace? Because if I have peace, then that means I know that God's got it all situated because he says he works all things together for my good. And so in the process of organically studying or getting to know God in relation to like what I'm experiencing on a day to day. That's how we get strengthened in those areas. Whatever weakness pops up or whatever thing pops up in our life and we go to the Bible and we spend time focusing on like, what does God say about it versus don't do this or, oh no, Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't focus on the symptom. Like, get to the root of like what's actually going on, you know?
Yeah.
Don't focus on the sin, but focus on like, okay, God, what are you calling me to do? And why is this bad for me? Not don't do this, you know?
So I mean this, oh geez, if we really want to talk about like focus and life focus and how to be able to do that, I guess what you could do or what we could do is right now, or after you're done listening to this, go write down on a piece of paper and write down the things that have your attention. And yes. Don't lie to yourself. Literally, if you want to take a week and do what's called a time audit.
Yeah.
Where you mark what you do at every hour. You can even go in half an hour increments and write down what your account of that time. Then you can see where you're wasting time.
Yeah.
And you'll actually be able to give an accurate account of what you're focusing on.
That's good.
Intentionally or unintentionally.
Yeah.
Because if you're not intentionally using time, it's unintentionally being used for something else.
It's gonna get used.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
True. That's really good.
Yeah. So write it down. Take an audit of what, because we all know what we want to be focusing on. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it a little bit, you're gonna be like, oh, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. No. Give yourself a week or two, do a time audit, and then see where that's going. And then allocate your time, have intention to those times, because I guess it all comes down to, and I know this is just because I nerd out on like the science of habit formation and that's all the neuroscience and all that.
Yeah, talk about that. That's really good.
I will in 1 minute, but everything comes down to who you want to be.
Yes.
Who you want to be. You can't form a habit if you just want to be skinny.
Uh-huh.
If you just want to be skinny, you're not going to lose weight unless like you have this extremely unhealthy, because unless it resonates with what you core believe, like I will not be valuable as a person unless I look like this, unless I look like this chick in this magazine right here with this six pack and fit into this size 2 jeans and can look good in a bathing suit in the summer. If you really believe that your value in this world is dependent on that, you will get fit.
Yeah.
You will be skinny. You will fit into those size 4 jeans, or you'll be tortured and overweight or just the weight that you're at.
Yeah.
So then you're either suffering or you're living out your core belief, and that's the motivation to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's still going to leave a shallow little hole, because when finally get there, those feelings are probably going to still be there.
Yeah.
The not good enough feelings.
Yes. Or you get pregnant or some life circumstances.
Yeah. So it comes down to what are your core beliefs?
Yeah.
And you can know what your core beliefs are through taking an audit, a reflective audit of what you've done in your life thus far.
Yeah.
And it's not saying that that's permanent, but then you ask yourself, who do I want to be?
Yeah.
Who do I want to be? And then you kind of write out who you want to be. And then you spend your focus and your time in priority with those things.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I know.
And that's real.
That is totally real. Okay, so I just want to read a couple verses.
Yes.
One of my favorites on why focus is so, so, so important. The first one I'm going to read out today is Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles.
Yeah.
And easily entangles, I think it says that because sin's easy to get entangled in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it means that the sin that you get entangled with and that I get entangled with is like our predisposition to sin, whatever, and that could be different.
Yes,
and that could be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, it's easy because that's the predisposition of your flesh or your struggles.
Yeah.
Not that sin somehow is stronger than the Jesus in you. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Or focusing our eyes on Jesus, or focusing our life on Jesus, scheduling our calendar on Jesus.
Or.
Okay, I'll stop that. Okay. The pioneer and perfecter of faith. pioneer and perfecter. So the establisher and the grit to make it happen and the final producer.
Yeah.
So in two words, man, I'm getting all preacher up here.
No, you do.
But like in two words, he's encompassed of the start of it, the in-between of it, and the finishing of it.
Yes.
And so it's like, you can do this.
Yes.
For the joy set before him, he endured the cross.
Yeah.
Scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that right there, that sentence right there is pretty much the gospel.
Yeah.
Jesus came, lived a perfect, sinless life. He was divine in human flesh, died on the cross, didn't stop there.
Yeah.
Conquered death.
Yeah.
Rose again, and is now making a place for us and will return.
Yes. It's so dope because when you, how it said it, he, for the joy that was like ahead of him, he endured the cross. And a lot of times,
and that joy is us.
Yeah. And a lot of times in our life, there's crosses that we have to endure, whether it's the cross of discipline and self-control. Like, I might not want to do this. This might feel hard. I might have to deny myself certain pleasures or being comfortable for the greater good.
Yeah.
So I might have to focus in.
Yeah, yeah.
For the greater good.
Because he's not just, this verse is not just talking about sin. Because because before it even said sin, it says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin.
Yeah.
Meaning that there's more than just sin that's going to distract you.
Yes.
That's going to steal your focus. That's going to take your eyes off. Yes. So this goes back to in like, you know, I went to a lot of like business conferences or whatever, but there's this book called Good to Great, or, you know, like good is the enemy of great, you know, bunch of them books. Good reads, by the way. But it's just saying that something can be not bad. It can be good.
Yeah.
But is that... are you making good the main focus instead of the ultimate, the focus, which by ultimate, I mean Jesus and the things of him.
Yeah. And a practical example of that is a person who is desiring to be married, right? If that is a struggle of theirs and it's something
it's a struggle to be married?
No, a struggle like it being content not being married.
Oh, okay. Got you.
You know, and if that's a struggle, it's probably not for the greater good to spend my time watching a bunch of love movies and a bunch of things that are
going to make you miss that future that you're longing for.
Yes. And now I'm hurried to make a decision to marry just any old body because I want to be married so bad and I want to get out of this comfort. Yeah. And it's uncomfortable not being married. And I just want to be. And now we miss the mark and end up with a horrible life partner.
Or a bunch of youth group people that are just like, we want to have sex, so we're going to get married.
Yeah. And everything they're watching and listening to is feeding sex, sex, sex. Every song, sex, sex, sex. So now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like denying ourselves the pleasure of maybe that show or that movie or that song for the greater good of focusing on what I really want. And what I really want is a godly marriage, is a godly man, is the person that God ordained for me, those things. So some things that it's not necessarily bad to watch that chick flick. It's not a sin to watch it, but it's something that hinders me or something that besets me. It's something that gets me off the course of being abstinent.
Or just flat out steals your focus.
Yes.
A little bit. Because I think, oh my gosh. Okay. I think of this distraction that the enemy does, or just even the flesh. Mm-hmm. Let's not give Satan more power than he actually has. Sometimes, you know, you're just curious about these things and unintentionally get distracted.
Yeah.
Okay. But I feel like the distraction tactic on the enemy's part is like micro fraud.
Yes.
Micro fraud. Because he'll steal moments, but those moments add up to the development of different habits.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Before you know it, and you're like, wait, how did I get away? It's like when you're driving in a car. If you're, I don't know if it's a compass or whatever, if you are over here, slowly going before you end up in a destination that's way over here.
Right.
You know, but if you're focused on the path ahead of you and the journey ahead of you and you're not veering to the left a little bit,
you end up at the destination. That's why, like on boats, they have like this tiny rudder, even on big boats, their rudder might be like a little bit bigger, but you can just turn like 1 degree off and you're like, oh, that's not a big deal. I'm not like directly straight on the line. Yeah. But like 100 miles out, you're literally on a different continent.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you have to be careful of your moments
those
because
brownies.
Moments compound.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Be careful of those little brownies.
those little brownies.
I'm just gonna have a little brownie right now. That's calories. Is that enough? I'm just gonna drink this drink with my food.
Yeah.
But that's adding calories from the goal of, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like it's not. I didn't eat a whole bunch, but you did a lot of little things that added up.
Let me tell you this one here. I'm going to read this verse here. It is Colossians 3:2. It says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And this ties in with us, with focus, being followers of the way of Jesus, his way, to have our focus on him because, well, I was going to share a profound, have you ever heard of Francis Chan?
Yes.
Okay, so I saw him do this amazing illustration. So he had like this really, really long, like I think it was like a 50-foot rope, and it was like a thick rope. I think it was like, okay, maybe it wasn't that thick. It was like an inch. But here's the point. He taped in red tape like maybe 3 inches of it, but then there was like 50 feet. And then he holds it up, and he's like, this is your time on earth. This is your time on eternity. And the rope went all the way out to the other side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And if you, for a moment, can come outside of your 24 hours, Monday through Friday, 365 day view of the world, which we were, you know, those are just universal laws that, you know, God put in place for us.
Yeah.
But he looks outside. And if we could, for a minute, look with eternal perspective and know that we're going to spend more side on eternity than we are here.
Yeah.
So don't you, wouldn't it be a good idea to put some intention or at least evaluate how you're spending your finite, I think that's the right word, finite time here. Yes, finite is opposite of infinite. So your finite time here.
Yeah.
And then isn't it okay then if the focus of your life is not on celebrities and like whatever award ceremony is going on or what the Biebs is doing or if Britney Spears is uncensored now or you
or
know what I'm
Beyonce's
saying?
Doing country music.
Did you see the album cover?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
It was interesting. It like wasn't country. Like the only thing country about it was anyway. It was like Sports Illustrated mashed up with whatever country magazine was.
Oh, funny. That's funny.
But can't we logically reason that it's okay to focus on Jesus and eternal things because in the grand scheme of everything, existence, we're going to spend more time on eternity.
For sure. And I like how you said earlier, because the next question I would ask, like if I was listening to this, is, okay, how do I focus more on Jesus? And earlier you mentioned about these micro little focuses that add up to a big thing.
Oh, micro moments.
Yeah, micro moments. And I think realistically and practically, because that's one of my favorite words, practically, I think realistically we do that by, if I'm going to choose to listen to something, I'm going to choose to listen to things that glorify God over things that feed other narratives to me. You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to watch a podcast, I'm not going to watch 20 podcasts that have nothing to do with God or the Bible or godly principles. I'm going to choose that if I'm listening to three, at least two of them will be, you know what I mean? Like,
so you're keeping it in balance. Cause we're not trying to say that everything is bad and that you shouldn't do all these things. We're just saying that it should be in balance with more being, in line with Christ's character and Christ's way of thinking.
Yeah. But I mean, if you have the grace to only things you praise God for you, you know what I mean? And do that. Don't let anyone tell you to do something that God has given you the grace to do. But practically, it's just taking an inventory, like she said, like of your time. And am I spending more time receiving thoughts and ideas and pleasures that come from the world? Or am I creating more opportunities to feed myself things that line up biblically with who I want to be and where I want to go. So the shows that I'm watching, so the time that I'm spending on researching things or studying things, like realistically all throughout the day, we can't read the Bible the whole day because we have real life experiences that we have.
And I don't think God asked us to, because he asked us to be involved with people.
Yeah.
You know, and
but things you have choice with. If I have a choice to be around friends, I'm going to choose to spend more time with friends whose vision and whose values align with where I'm trying to go as well, because the conversations are going to be rooted in biblical principles. Hopefully it is.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the things that you can control. You can't control your coworkers, right?
Yeah.
But you can control who you call on the ride to work, on the ride home, the conversations you have with those people you call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even if it hasn't previously been that, but maybe those friends that you talk to, start bringing up some, oh, I studied this today and this is what I feel like the Holy Spirit was showing me, or I'm struggling with this. Can we pray about that?
Yeah.
But it's just finding micro moments to incorporate things that are going to feed your focus on where you want to go and who you want to be.
Exactly. But we are not telling you to make a Christian bubble or a Jesus bubble whatsoever.
Unless God's giving you the grace for that. Because there's
even though I don't think that's how he works.
I think some people, bubble as in what they receive in. But of course, they have to go out and minister to people who are not believers.
I mean, like sheltering themselves and like won't talk to people who aren't Christians. Don't do any of that stuff.
No.
So like you still need to have like a lot of EQ to be an effective Christian.
For sure.
And a lot of like really know all the spiritual gifts and practice them really good, have them, but then they're missing the EQ. And that's where it comes in where Paul says, tell the truth in love and grace.
Yes.
You need to be able to interact with people to be able to share that wisdom.
I agree, but I wouldn't say that. I agree to the extent of that's going to naturally happen in life, because nobody lives in a Christian bubble unless there's like some cult town that you live in.
What's the Bible
that's
belt?
Going to happen naturally when you go to the store, when you go to work, when you this. But I wouldn't say to choose people in your life that don't align with the principles you, and then choose to spend all your time with them or all your conversations with. I don't think... We should be like seeking out like, I got to have some non-Christian friends. So let me go find some people who are not. I don't think you should seek that out.
If
it naturally comes, I think like working with people, you naturally gain friendships and you meet people who don't have the same beliefs. And naturally you might end up, oh, let's go do this together. And God uses you as a light in their life.
Yeah.
But I mean like just intentionally, like for the sake of, okay, this is going to sound funny, but you know, people be like, well, I got to find a black friend, like the quota. You got to go find your quota.
Like in TV shows. You have to represent every labeled identity.
Yeah, I don't think you should be like, seeking that out. Life naturally comes, because I have people
like
that I'm in.
Christ like to do that.
Yeah, I think I have people that I.
A token friend.
No, I don't have a token. I don't seek out those kind of, but I think naturally in life, I communicate with a lot of people who are not believers or who are on different levels of their faith and might have some things that I disagree with, but I'm not intentionally like, I don't want to be in a Christian bubble. So let me go get a friend that's not blah, 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 blah. Or let me keep this person around. So I have I try to be led by the Holy Spirit, and God organically brings those relationships around, because he knows what we can handle. He knows what influences.
Yes.
You know, he wants us to have.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm saying it like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to, don't go out and seek, you know, for your diversity numbers or you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
Don't go like, I got to have a non-Christian friend. Well, maybe this season of your life, God has surrounded you with a bunch of believers, because in your growth and your development, that's what's healthiest for you. And maybe he's trying to break certain worldly mindsets off of you. And so for this season, he has you in this bubble, as you would say, you know what I mean, for your development. But I think as we grow and mature, God allows and brings different people in our life for various reasons.
I think we agree mostly on this.
Yeah.
Have another episode where we dive into this more.
Yes.
You know?
About the Christian bubble or... Yes. Yeah.
Or yeah.
Because now you have the
gift of evangelist coming in, or, you know, so it depends on the heart posture and the gifting that person has.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
And the season that they're in.
Totally.
Because the Bible tells us to guard our heart, because out of it flows the issues of life.
Exactly.
And if my heart is struggling with something, I should not surround myself with people who encourage the struggle.
100%. 100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I say like, you know, the people you choose, it's
the people you choose for your close that you're going to spend the most time with.
Yes.
Again, it comes down to the balance of time. More time with people who are secure in their beliefs and common values. Exactly. Yours, yeah. It will help, right? As iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we're not going to have like a rusty old fork in here.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah. You shouldn't be eating with that fork every meal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Okay, so before we kind of wrap up on the idea of focus and why it's important mm-hmm. to us as followers of the way of Jesus, to really understand focus, what it is, and why we need to wield it wisely.
Yeah.
So for me, I've done a little bit of like neuroscience research and just a deeper dive on this because I have ADHD. And so I'm trying to figure out how to harness my superpower in favor of that. Because mm-hmm. the downside of ADHD is that I am like easily distracted at uh-huh. times. And sometimes I am so hyper focused that everything falls out. So I always ask this question. I ask, how can I control what's being put in? How can I control? Because also an ADHD mind is interest based wired, meaning mm-hmm. like if I'm into something, I'm into something,
yeah.
you know, but like if you're not into it, then it's almost impossible to start. It's not impossible, but it feels super hard to start it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Or even knowing where to start, mm-hmm. just getting started. That's where it's like, like sometimes I'm buffering,
yeah,
you know, for a minute. And so I had this question is like, how can I control everything coming in? And as I was doing research, so I'm not like a scientist or anything like that. So I'm just like a nerd on it. All right. But like God kind of answered that to me in research for this episode.
Yeah.
And I am like, my mind is blown. Okay. Ooh. So I'm going to speak some like sciencey jargon at you. And I hope that your mind is blown and like you can nerd out with me. Okay.
Yes.
So there's this thing called the reticular activating system. And it's the thing that sits at the bottom of your brain, like your brain stem. And it connects all of your, it's like a network of neurons, right? And so it connects your spinal cord, like all those things. It connects them and all the brain and all this stuff, right? So it's in charge of the things that come in. So all the stimuli from visual, smell, sense, all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's what tells you what's important and what's not important. So if you're sitting on the couch watching a TV show, uh-huh. Based on whatever is important, like it quiets your child mm-hmm. crying and
like, Mama.
And then like the TV just stays in auditory focus
yeah.
until, you know, your child has that big, big scream that like, you know, the one there, you know, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're pulled out of your focus and you run to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was the death scream.
Yeah.
But before it was the whine scream. Mm-hmm. And so you're attuned to what that is. And so this, they call it the RAS. It's in charge of all of that.
That's dope.
And so I'm like, crap, but you know what happened? It's an automated system and it happens subconsciously. So you're like, what the flip? I'm getting excited. How do I freaking change something that happens automatic?
Yeah.
But there's this amazing thing called neuroplasticity and we can change it based on what we focus on. And I'm like, well, can we change what we're interested in? Because I can only focus on the things that I'm interested in, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yes, yeah. You can.
Yeah.
It takes time and focus, but you can by setting clear goals over a period of time. Of consistent time, you can train it to be interested
yeah.
in this thing. So then it quiets these other things and these things automatically, once it gets in that automatic loop, mm-hmm. automatically heightened. And then it's easier to like kickstart that fire because you're now interested on it.
Yeah.
It happens through like, if you practice mindfulness, it helps your ability to focus for longer periods of time. And then actually regular physical exercise and then mental exercise. So like therapy, talk therapy, like yeah. social therapy, you know, hanging out with friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And then positive thinking, i.e. for us people who fall away, positive thinking is a combination of the Bible, you know, and who believing who God says we are
yeah.
and believing that he will fulfill every promise that he told us and that is in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so by doing that, you can literally change your biology.
Yeah.
To focus on those things, to yeah. want Jesus more. And there's one of my favorite verses in the Bible is that it's in Philippians and it says that God will give you the will and the way to do the things that pleases him.
Yes,
and I used to pray that all the time because having ADHD and not being able to get started and not being interested, sometimes it was really hard. So I would pray to give me the will and the way desire. To do yeah. and the desire to do what pleases you.
Yeah.
Because I was missing that. Mm-hmm. I was missing it. And this, I think that's what this is.
Yeah.
And he's saying, let me rewire yeah. your RAS. Your desires.
Yeah.
Your RAS. Let me rewire it. I can do that. So yeah. as you partner with the Spirit, you can literally change what you're interested in. Isn't yeah. that insane?
That is so great. I pray that scripture for my children all the time.
Yeah.
That God would give them the desire and the will to do what he's
yeah.
doing. Yeah. What pleases him.
Okay. Well, let's go out with a big bang, yes. ladies. Let's go out with a big bang. Okay. So one, I challenge you to take a time audit, whether it's 1 week or 2 weeks, and write down where you spend your time.
Yeah.
And then ask yourself who you've been or who you are. And then ask yourself who you want to be.
Yeah.
And then after you have defined that, then go ahead and decide where your focus is going to go based on who you want to be at that soul level. Those things that you, those practices that you want to be so ingrained that they become automatic even in your neurochemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. This is good. My mind is going so many places, but we're wrapping up.
We're wrapping up. So focus is important.
Focus is important.
Focus is important. And it matters.
And I would encourage you, even that scripture that she just mentioned about that the Holy Spirit, you know, that God would give us the will to
and the desire, and the to, desire do, to do what pleases him.
That's a good scripture to pray to add to your prayer time, because it's so good to use scripture to pray.
Yeah.
But that's something to speak over yourself and your children. And that kind, I think that kind of helps, keeps us consistent and yeah. on track too.
We'll put that in the show notes. Yeah. All right, ladies, we love you, and we hope you. To see you next week. Same bat channel, same bat time.
Yes.
Yeah. Peace yeah. out, my ladies. All righty then. What movie is that from?
Jim Carrey, Mask.
Yeah. Oh, she knew it, folks.
I love Jim Carrey.
Hey, it's Emily here. I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Satricia and I for listening to the Messy Faith podcast and allowing us to speak into your life. And hey, we don't want it just one way. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at any time through our website, our email at ask@messyfaith.com. You can like us on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you listen to us at. And hey, we'd love a little review. Can't wait to hear from you.